You know, we've been talking about 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've been going before the Lord and seeking His face. And that's why. Because, like Floyd said, His eye is not only on the sparrow, but His eye is upon His people. And He promises to be with us, never leave us, never forsake us. And so we've been seeking His face over these past few weeks. And we're entering our third week in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. So if you haven't picked up one of these guides, there are some out in the vestibule for you. You can also get an electronic copy on our website. But we have another week left, and I hope you'll join us in that week if you haven't already, as we just seek the Lord's face. You know, last week I challenged you to consider implementing fasting into this time as we seek God. And I told you that, you know, fasting is abstaining from a normal activity for a period of time for a specific spiritual purpose. And this could include abstaining from food or drink or some other activity for a period of time, but it's give attention to a special, specific spiritual purpose, and that purpose is to seek the Lord and ask Him for clarity of direction for our leadership, for which direction our church needs to go in the future. Also, we're seeking God and asking Him, Lord, would You make me open to, you know, what You have for us, what You want to do in and through us this year and in the coming years. And so I've challenged you to implement fasting. So hopefully you have picked which type of fasting you want to implement, and you've hopefully been able to do that. And if not, we have this one more week left. It's a great opportunity to implement that into your week. Also, I have challenged you to pray. And many of you are familiar with prayer. I mean, you pray on a regular basis already, but I am challenging you to pray, and I want to explain this morning why I'm challenging you to pray. You know, why am I asking you to do this? And I want to explain why by explaining three things about prayer. I want to explain the privilege of prayer. I want to explain the power of prayer, and then lastly, I want to explain the purpose of prayer. So let's start with the privilege of prayer. You know, when someone says he or she's a person of privilege, what are they referring to? Well, they're saying this person has access to great resources that they probably didn't earn. Maybe they have great access to great resources that was earned by someone else, like a family member or a relative. But they're a person of privilege because they have access to these great resources. Now, I know usually when we use that phrase, person of privilege, we might not use it in a very positive sense. But when you think about a Christian, I think you'd have to say a Christian is a person of privilege. And it's a very positive thing. And we are people of privilege because we have access to God. You know, prayer is a privilege. You know, and this is why. You know, the same God who created all things, created the heavens and the earth, has made it possible for you and for me to have a personal relationship with Him by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a life we could not live, to die a death we deserve to die. He was buried. God raised Him from the dead on the third day, demonstrating that what He did on the cross and through His death was sufficient to deal with sin and death forever. He accomplished that so that we can have a relationship with Him, that we can have a relationship with the God who created all things. So it is through Jesus Christ that we have been saved by grace through faith. By grace, grace is receiving something good that you could not and you cannot earn. It is a gift. We've been saved, meaning we are no longer separated from God. And we've been saved by faith, which means believing what God did through Jesus Christ is true and sufficient to make us right with God. And now we are followers of Jesus Christ. And so if you are a Christian, if you have placed your faith in Christ, you are a person of privilege because you have access to God. Now, there are many privileges that you experience as a Christian, but prayer is surely one of them. You know, the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that because of what Jesus has done for us as our high priest, we can approach the throne of God with confidence. I mean, think of it like this, and maybe you've heard this before, but imagine you were the president of the United States, and some random guy off the street, you know, comes up to the gate of the White House and says, okay, I want to go meet the president in the Oval Office. I mean, what's the likelihood of that happening? It's not going to happen. Okay, it's just not going to happen. However, let's imagine your child wants to come see you in the Oval Office. Well, that child will just come walking right in. Why? Because the child has access. Because the child has a relationship with you. And that's how it is with God. We have access to God through Christ. And that is a privilege. We have access to boldly come into the throne room of God and lift our request to Him, to talk to Him, which is what prayer is. Let me just say this about prayer. You know, prayer is talking with God. Now, I know when we think about prayer, we often think about asking God to do certain things. And that is part of prayer, but that's not all of what prayer is. Prayer also involves praising God. You know, praising God for who He is. Listen to Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So part of prayer is praising the Lord for who He is, for what He's done. You know, so prayer is an opportunity to praise the Lord. Prayer is also an opportunity to give thanks to God. Listen to Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. I mean, prayer is an opportunity just to tell God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me. Prayer is also an opportunity to confess our sin. To acknowledge that, Lord, I've not done what You wanted me to do. I've gotten off track, like I said earlier. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, prayer gives us an opportunity to approach God with confidence, knowing that we can confess our sin and He forgives us because of what Christ has done. And yes, prayer is an opportunity to ask God to work in our situation. Throughout the scripture, you read about the people of God praying to God, asking Him to work in a given situation, and He does just that, and He answers their prayers. So the privilege of prayer belongs to the people of God. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are a person of privilege. Prayer is a privilege. So now let me explain the power of prayer. And like I said a moment ago, prayer involves, you know, praise and thanksgiving, confession, but it also involves asking God to work in a given situation, asking God to do something in your life or in the life of another person. So prayer is not only a privilege, but there is power in prayer. Why? Why is there power in prayer? Well, the power resides in the one that we're praying to. You know, God has the power. He is all-powerful. God is the only one who has all power, sufficient power to actually accomplish everything that He wants to accomplish. No one else has that power. Only God has that power. And not only is God all-powerful and able to accomplish all things according to His will, which no one else can say that, He has all this power, but also Romans 8:28 tells us this, that God works all things for the good of those who are called according to His purpose, who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So not only is God all-powerful, but He works His power in such a way for our good. And that's good news for the people of God, that God is at work, not just randomly, but God is at work for a specific purpose, and that purpose involves our good. So His intentions toward us are good. So when we go to God in prayer and we lift our request to Him, not only do we know that He's able to do something about it, but we know whatever He does is ultimately going to be for our good. I mean, that is a privilege to be able to go to God with that belief in prayer. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of people going to God, asking God to work in their situation, and God answering their prayer. As they go to the Lord and ask for help, for guidance, for provision, for protection, for healing, or to bless them. And we read in many accounts how God answered their prayer and provides for them and provided for them in the way that they've asked Him to provide. Let me just share two quick examples for you of the many that you can read about in the Scripture. The first one comes from 1 Samuel 1, and you may be familiar with this prayer. It's the prayer of Hannah. You know, Hannah was unable to have children, and in 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, we read, "She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head.'" And then down in verses 19 and 20, we read, "The Lord remembered her, and in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, 'I have asked for him from the Lord.'" It's a great example of Hannah lifting a prayer to the Lord, asking God to work. God answers her prayer and gives her her son. Let me give you another example. How many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez? Okay. What's great about this prayer is it's just kind of tucked into 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in a list of genealogy. So some of you may not be familiar with it because you know what happens when you get to the genealogy. You just skip that part, right? When you're reading through the Bible, like, okay, Joseph, okay, down here, we're going to just skip all that. Well, if you just read through it, though, in 1 Chronicles 4, you get to this just two verses, and specifically one verse I want to share with you, verse 10, 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. Listen to what it says. "Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked." That's all we know about this guy. We don't know anything else about Jabez. It's just he just planted in the genealogy. He says, he asked God for this, God gave it to him. On to the next name. Even though it's really a short request, it demonstrates what I'm saying, and that is God answers the prayers of his people. God answers prayer. And there are several other prayers in the Bible that God answered, but these are just two short examples to explain the power of prayer. Listen to this quote by John Piper. It kind of ties into this idea of, you know, prayer is going to the God who has the power to actually do something in our lives that we just don't have the power to do. Listen to what he says. "Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. 'Apart from me, you can do nothing.'" Listen to that again. "Prayer is the translation into 1,000 different words of a single sentence. 'Apart from me, you can do nothing.'" You know, there's power in prayer, but the power is not with us. The power is with God. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. You know, there are things we just cannot do. And we need God to work. And we pray because we believe God can do what we cannot do. We pray because we believe God is able to work in our situation. And that's why there is power in prayer. So now that I've explained the privilege and the power of prayer, let me just conclude by explaining the purpose of prayer. Why have I asked you to pray? Why have I asked you to pray? Well, I've asked you to pray not because I want us to, you know, share our will with God. I've asked you to pray because I want us to align our will with His. Listen to what John Wesley once said. He said, "I find that the chief purpose of prayer is seeking God's will." Or I find that the chief purpose of prayer in seeking God's will is that prayer gets my will into an unbiased state. I love that. I love that sentence. Prayer gets my will in an unbiased state. And that's what we've been praying for, right? We've been praying, "God, help me to be open to how you're leading. I want my will to be in an unbiased state. As I seek your face, as I seek guidance. So the purpose of prayer is not to align God's will to ours, to our will. It's to align our will with God's. And I've asked you to join me in prayer so that your God may give us clarity of direction as to how we should move forward as a church. And you may be wondering, well, Ron, how does that practically happen? Now, I know we want to align our will with God's will. We know that God guides his people. He answers prayer. But how is that going to pan out in this process? And I just want to share one example of how God works through prayer. And I think it's, for me personally, it's one of the most encouraging and applicable passages as it relates to how God guides and directs his people. And it's found in the book of Nehemiah. And let me give you some context for Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah and his people have been taken into exile. Judah has been destroyed. Jerusalem has been leveled. The temple's destroyed. The walls of the city are destroyed. I mean, the city's in ruins. Nehemiah is in the palace of the king, of this foreign king, and he's serving the king there in a specific office as a cupbearer. And news reaches Nehemiah about the state of Jerusalem, because the king has allowed some of the Jewish people to go back to Jerusalem, and now they have relayed message back to Nehemiah, letting him know the state of things. And let me just share with you what he does when he how he responds to the news that he receives. So Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. It says, as soon as I heard these words, he heard about the state of things in Jerusalem. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So he hears the news, and he goes to the Lord through fasting, through prayer. Then he approaches this foreign king and he asks him to have permission to go back to Jerusalem. And the king grants him permission. And Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem. And then in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, listen to this. Nehemiah says, so I came to Jerusalem and was there for 3 days. And I got up in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. So I'm just going to stop right there. Did you catch it? Did you hear how God guided Nehemiah? It wasn't through a prophet. It wasn't through a vision. It wasn't through, you know, some spectacular encounter with an angel or a heavenly being of any sort. Verse 12 says, and I got up in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. God was putting an idea into Nehemiah's mind. Now, he would later share that idea with the people. And the idea was, let's rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what the book of Nehemiah is all about, them rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They face various challenges, but they persevere because that's what God was calling them to do. But what's so encouraging to me about this passage is that God can work within us and put ideas in our minds. And I believe that for the Christian, this is one of the main ways that God guides, is that God influences our minds. As followers of Jesus, I mean, think about this. As followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us. You know, and who knows the mind of God? Only the Spirit of God. And we have the Spirit of God. How do we understand the things of God? Through the Spirit of God. And so I believe that when we pray and we ask God to guide us, I believe that one way he does that is he gives us ideas. John Wesley said, once my will, he's the one who said prayer puts his will in an unbiased state, so he goes before the Lord. to get his will in an unbiased state. Then he says this, once my will is unprejudiced about the matter. In other words, once he gets to the place where he's saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Once he gets to that place, he says this, I find God suggests reasons to my mind why I should or should not pursue a course. And that's what I believe we've experienced and we will experience during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I think this is what we'll experience as we continue just to walk with the Lord for a lifetime. You know, as we seek the Lord and ask Him to give us clarity of direction, as we ask Him to make us open to His leading, I do think one of the ways He will guide is by giving ideas. And that's what we're praying for. God, give us clarity of direction. Give us ideas for how You would have us move forward. And another way God works within us is not only by giving us ideas, but by preparing our hearts. I mean, God is the only one who can do the internal work. You know, I cannot do that for you. You cannot do that for me. Only God can bring about that change, that heart change. And so another way we ask God to work is by, Lord, would you prepare my heart? Would you help me just to be open to where You may be leading? We're also praying, if you've been going through our prayer guide, we've been praying for people that don't know Christ. Why? Because we believe that God works in their hearts as well to draw them to Himself, to lead them to Christ. We've been praying for specific fruitfulness in different areas of ministry. Why? Because we believe God can work in the lives of people. And so we're praying for that because that's something we cannot do. Now, we do have a role to play and God will work in and through us in that way. But only God can bring about those internal promptings and ideas and that preparation. So this is why we're praying that we just be open for what God has in store for us. God, would You prepare our hearts? Would You give the leadership clarity of direction for how we should move forward? So the purpose of prayer is just to align ourselves with God. That's what we want. And so I want to challenge you. We have 1 week left. Of course, after this week, you can still pray and fast. You can do that. But we have 1 week left as a congregational prayer time that we're really seeking the Lord together for a specific purpose, asking Him to give the leadership of our church, you know, clarity of direction, asking Him to help us be open to what He has in store for us. And I'm asking you to pray because, you know, prayer is a privilege. There's power in prayer, and the purpose of prayer is to seek the Lord and align ourselves with what He has for us. Let us pray together. Father, thank You for these truths in the Scripture that we can approach You with confidence, knowing that You hear us, You hear our prayers, and You answer according to Your will. And Lord, we acknowledge the fact that there is mystery in prayer. But Lord, we know we have access. We know You have power to work in our situation. And we know however You choose to work, that it's for our good. And we trust You for that, Lord. And now, Lord, as we continue to move through this service, through this day, through this week, and into the new year, we just pray for clarity of direction. We pray for an openness to what You want to do in and through our lives, what You want to do in and through this church family, for Your glory and for our good. And we thank You for the privilege of prayer. We acknowledge Your power that we can access in prayer. And God, help us to just seek Your face as we see the purpose of praying unfold before our eyes, even this year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.